Karma Bank
Da,
coming
da, da,
to
da.
you from.
Come closer to me. Come closer to me. Why are
Well,
you so far
it's your
away?
fault that you're way over there.
Is that right?
Yeah, sleepyhead. We're in Parma.
Yeah. Parma, Italy. What did we have for lunch? Parmesan cheese and Parma ham, didn't we?
Exactly. It was so delicious. It was probably one of the best meals that we've had in all of Italy.
It was, yeah.
And Max promptly came back to the hotel and fell asleep.
Yeah.
Just like a good old Italian man.
Yeah, I'm all for that whole sleep thing and nappy time. Nappy time! Oh, yeah. Hey, looking at the Financial Times, I see that the Bolivian people are getting ready for the inauguration of Evo Morales. Yeah, and the rich people are bracing themselves for the installment of this pro-people president into the presidential office in Bolivia. Yeah, so the rich people are running scared. And I think the rich people should start running scared all over the world, whether it's in Bolivia or in America, because the people are starting to, this is my New Year's message. The people must rise up now and kick the rich man in the ass. And I say that being not all that rich myself, I don't really fear being one of the ones getting kicked in the ass. I'm merely part of the mass affluent. I'm not one of the rich of the rich.
No,
I didn't get a
there's a
£1 million bonus this Christmas in the
no,
city.
no.
I did a few good things. I did a few bad things. I'm going to pay some taxes to the corrupt government in Washington, and they'll use my money to buy guns to kill innocent Iraqis, and they'll use my money to fuel political corruption and the religious right in America, who will denounce knowledge, denounce education, denounce progress in favor of backward-looking, nasal-gazing,
Nasal.
a-hole surfing, fundamentalist nonsense. Yeah, it's too bad, America. They've basically turned their back on humanism. You know, we were reading about the whole history of Italy last night in the hotel room. Actually, you read me the whole history of Italy last night in the hotel room. And it really encapsulates the whole tension between the forces of dictatorships and the people, between humanism and the church. And in America now, it's a very young country in America. They've never had the swing toward the church as they have now. They were born during a period of humanistic enlightenment. A pushback toward the church is when America was born in the 18th century. And now in the 21st century, they're undergoing a very historical and very predictable trend of the elites vis-a-vis the military grabbing power and wealth and exerting extreme poverty on the rest of the country. And this is what's happening in America. You're having an incredible split down the middle between the poor and the military rich, the military and the rich getting together, the military. And they always, of course, will assume, or they will push onto the people the need for the White House to assume dictatorial power. And that's where we're heading in America, is dictatorial power. We have a little Caesar cooking. And I don't mean the pizza company. I mean that little brat in the White House, that yuppie from hell, that short, ugly, well, I don't know, I've run out of epithets at the end of the
Chimpanzee
year.
looking.
But anyway, yeah, he's the whole thing there is that they need dictatorial power to fight so-called terrorism. You know, there's always been a tension between the barbarians and those inside the city gates. And the inside the gates, during great periods of civilization, they have relied on civil rights and democracy have made great civilizations great. When they fear losing their civilization, democracy, and freedom, they go to dictatorial powers. And then, of course, that is the end of civilization in those particular periods because they abandoned civil rights in the name of civil rights. It's just like America's foreign policy. They say that we need to burn down the village to bring them human rights. You know, this has been, isn't that, that's been the policy of colonialism going back 500 years. The reason the Europeans enslaved the Latin Americans and the Africans was to bring them human rights. That's what they called it back then, human rights. And now in Britain or in America, they're using the same argument to bring democracy to places like Iraq. They're going to destroy Iraq to bring it democracy. They're going to destroy as many countries as they possibly can, because it makes the most money as you can ever hope to make in the shortest period of time for the greediest few. These being the military contracting, dictatorial power-seeking, psychotic white men at the top.
Well, speaking of the dictatorial, maniacal white men at the top, apparently, while nobody was looking again over Christmas, the military-industrial complex in Iraq was pressing the government of Iraq to privatize all of their industries.
Yeah.
This was something going on while you were stuffing your face and gorging on credit for Chinese-made goods.
Yeah, I mean, the Iraq people, they really should join the insurgency if they want to avoid getting screwed by American contracting interests, who they're never going to have any access to the oil there. I mean, look at what's happened in anywhere else American oil companies have gone. Mm. They saddle the locals with debt, and the locals never see any revenue. They stay in perpetual indebtedness, and that's the whole deal. If you look at what Putin just said to Ukraine, there's a big conflict now between Russia and Ukraine. Putin's got the gas. Ukraine's got the pipeline. Putin wants to quadruple gas prices. He's not happy that the Ukraine split off as an independent state. The Ukraine is saying, we're going to charge you to move the gas from Russia to Europe through our pipeline. So they've got huge political tension. So what Putin is saying to Ukraine is, well, I'm going to lend you $3.5 billion. So he's using the IMF and World Bank trick of loading people up with debt, and they become indentured servants, and then mm-hmm. they become beholden to the debt. That's what Latin America is saying. Now, we know that trick already. That's why Argentina and these other countries like Venezuela are paying off their IMF and the World Bank debt immediately, because there's too many strings attached. They don't get any good out of it. It's not like they're able to, like on a Wall Street banker, borrow tons of money and start a bogus real estate company and then float that real estate company on the stock exchange, take a huge bonus, and then watch all the shareholders collapse like they're doing in the UK. That's one story I saw in the UK.
Oh, really?
Is that the number of real estate firms in the UK last year that went public was seven times, was 20, which is more than the last 7 years combined. And this is just a classic Wall Street trick of beating the masses to a pulp, manipulating the market. Basically, everyone in the UK has been driven into the real estate sector, as the rest of the economy has been privatized and sold off to foreign countries, foreign interests. So there's very few ways for people in the UK to make money now, except by speculating in the real estate market. So they set up all these real estate trading properties and companies. And when the insiders are probably listing the exact same properties as all the other companies that are going public are listing. This is one of the interesting things about what you can do, the magic of Wall Street and the magic of the city. I'm sure that many of these companies going public in the real estate industry are listing the exact same properties. But there's no one accounting to say, you claim to have a backlog of these 500 properties, but so do these other 19 companies.
And also today, Reuters was reporting that the UK had the worst housing market this year in over a decade. So suddenly, all of these firms want to go public as soon as the easy profits have been made.
Yeah, they're moving the risk into the public domain.
Yeah.
So the public will be caught with the risk. The public will end up with the shares in their retirement accounts. The retirement accounts will be marked down when the real estate market collapses. And the public is constantly getting screwed over. And those on the inside, primarily driven by the military contractors, are doing a runner. And they're setting up a situation where there's incredible wealth gaps and that there's incredible penury imposed on the masses for the benefit of the few on the inside who are seeking dictatorial powers in the name of fighting so-called terrorism. But we've seen it many, many, many times again. So you get back to our history of Italy, which we were talking about yesterday. They've been through it several times.
Many
going
times.
Going back to 700 BC.
Yeah, the remarkable thing is how consistently and constantly and repetitively history repeats itself. It just constantly repeats itself in the same exact way. And there were a number of things that seemed that America is mimicking. Number one is the Counter-Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the papal court in Italy financed the Renaissance happening. But apparently once it led to free thought, the papacy cracked down and built these mega churches, which mm-hmm. exactly like what you see in America right now, these mega giant churches filling 30,000 people. Well, Italy did the same thing for the Counter-Reformation. And of course, what ultimately came out of the Counter-Reformation was the Inquisition mm-hmm. and burning of heretics. And we all know that history. Right. But the other thing that was similar was World War I, apparently, it consolidated so much wealth in the hands of the military contractors that this set the stage for massive poverty in Italy and therefore the rise of fascism that mm-hmm. came out of it. And mm-hmm. this also seems to be another trend that is happening in America.
Right.
That military adventures causing the or allowing for the consolidation of wealth in a few hands.
Well, I mean, yeah, the history repeats itself. And I think that what's interesting in American history is that it was born during this period of great humanism, enlightenment, democracy, mm-hmm. which goes back to Aristotle's time. There's been this tension throughout the history going back to Aristotle between the church and the military contractors and the people and struggle for power. This America was born in this period, and for 200 years they've never yet experienced their experience yet with dictatorship. So this is going to be the first time in American history that they have to deal with dictatorship and a dictator. The Bush agenda, as he said with the wiretapping, is to piss on the Constitution. He's a dictator. He's crowned himself imperial god of America. The people of America really have no choice other than to revolt at this point. That's their choice. Or be happy being living in a dictatorship. But a dictatorship doesn't, you know, it doesn't play well on the world stage. So when the rest of the world starts to really outcompete America in industry and in business, and America's poor gets even poorer, and America's middle class, remember, America's middle class is happy to get cheap goods at Walmart and work at crap jobs, as long as the stuff that they're buying at Walmart is cheaper. Their sense of well-being is not that bad. They may be living in a trailer park, but the prices of goods at Walmart are so cheap, they're living like so-called kings. But because the wages in China are now moving up, the wages in the colonies are moving up thanks to globalization, that the people in the red states and the trailer parks are going to now go from living comfortably, the comfortable poor, to the abject poverty-stricken. And these people have nobody to blame but themselves. Because they're letting a dictator steal all the money from them to give it to their military buddies and go kill people in Iraq because they don't happen to be white and chased lunatics in caves and spending hundreds of billions of dollars doing it because this is the justification to seek dictatorial powers and to give all your money to the military contracting buddies and the Exxon companies and the energy companies.
Well, but
we've seen it over and over again. But this is Americans. The reason America's so stupid to this is because it never happened to them before. America's
no,
never had
not.
A dictator in their midst like this before. They've had neo-poser fascists like McCarthy. But they never had a guy who's actually sat down in the dictatorial chair.
Yeah, but the other thing that the history shows is, if you look at it, it seems to be that the cycle, the natural cycle for any sort of political system, seems to be about 230 to 300 years. And that seems to be where America's at. It's by that point, the concentration of wealth gets so extreme, and it always ends with civil war.
Yeah.
Or some barbarian or vandal or Gaul or one of these sort of people at the gates.
Well, the American economy is being stripped of all its wealth. And there's abject poverty coming to America. And the question is, are the American people going to fight? And I think this year is the year that this becomes obvious. And this is where the New York Times and these other newspapers fail in giving a good perspective on what's really happening, because they tend to frame things in terms of, you know, is the administration going to cop to its responsibility and start acting better? When they don't really inform the readers of the New York Times of what's really going on, will the administration, will the people, they shouldn't be talking about the administration, the New York Times. Forget the administration. The administration's a lost cause. The New York Times and these other periodicals have got to start talking to the people mm-hmm. and saying, we need to get our act together to begin to mount the insurrection. That's what the New York Times needs to be starting to say. And it's irresponsible for them not to say that. I mean, that's why the New York Times, you have to ask themselves, who are they working for? Well, they've got reporters embedded in the White House. They've got bloggers embedded in Iraq. They don't work for the people. The New York Times is working for the insiders.
Well, but I'm trying to picture these historical events, the storming of Bastille, the, you know, the overthrowing of various monarchies around the world. And I can't imagine 1,200-pound peasants like taking them on.
Yeah, but that 1,200-pound peasant, you know, given the Bush's new economic program, was going to be a 90-pound angry guy with a big old automatic semi-weapon.
But that's the brilliant thing. It's not true, because there's this processed food, which these manufacturers, these corporations, the very sort of corporations that own the military-industrial complex, create this processed food to make you fat no matter what.
I got to believe that somewhere in America there's some real Americans who are willing to take the to stick it to the man. You know, I can't believe they're all 1,200-pound, you know, fat, obese, overeating troglobites or troglodytes. I should say troglobites.
Troglobites.
They're troglobiting their way through a box after box of Tim Horton donuts. The troglobites.
That's what you should call these old economy, these sort of Ma Bell companies that are trying to destroy the internet.
I gotta believe that there's people in America willing to stand up for America. I mean, you got a dictator in office who's, he's the last thing. He's no American. He's a dictatorial scumbag. I mean, America's going, we got to, you know, who's going to start this revolution going, man? Who's going to start this party? Get this party going.
I think you just have to, it'll be competition. It's always once China becomes more powerful, or Brazil or India, or once the poverty sets in more to the middle class. Right now, they're still in the high of the easy credit boom.
The middle class, you know, if they want to really prepare themselves, sell their house, put 50 to 60% of the proceeds into physical gold somewhere where the government can't find it, and then just step off the tax rolls completely and starve the government. You know, the government talks about starving the beast, which is starving all social programs and loading the economy with debt and taking away all semblance of pride and dignity for America. I think that the Americans should return the favor and put a lot of money into fiscal gold for themselves, step off the tax rolls completely, and starve this administration to extermination, to you know, let Tom DeLay know what it means to be exterminated.
Mm-hmm.
He himself was made his living being an exterminator.
Well, that's a good way, because there apparently it's taxation without representation, so why should you pay taxes if you're not being represented?
I'm not being represented, so why should I pay taxes? You know, I mean, it's so I can support a dictator who's inflaming anger all over the world with dictatorial regime changes that are causing incredible ecological damage.
And torturing people.
Torturing people.
Abducting people, raping people.
They say that there's an, how much time we got left?
Let's do 3 more minutes. Because we have a better connection today, so that's why our show is a bit longer.
Well, I saw here in the New York Times, there's a story about foie gras.
Oh, yeah.
And that people are upset about foie gras. In America, they're getting ready to outlaw it because it causes harm to the ducks and geese. This force feeding, where they stick a tube down a duck's throat and they force feed it until the liver gets to 3 or 4 times its normal size, and it crushes the duck's lungs, and the duck suffocates to death. But you take the liver out, it makes a delicious aperitif on a nice piece of toast.
Mm-hmm.
And they say in this article that according to this anti-foie gras lobby, it's the sole product in which you force an animal to eat. According to Sebastian R. Zach of StopGabage.com. Well, I would submit to you that Americans are being forced to eat.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans are an animal being forced to eat in this manner by their leaders, who tell them that the only way they can protect themselves against being violated in their home by dark-skinned terrorists is to eat themselves to death, to consume themselves to death.
Yeah.
That is gabage.
Yeah.
In the political sense, being performed by the foie gras masters in the White House.
Yeah.
On the American foie gras farm of chickens, of ducks and geese, and Americans are an animal that's being forced to consume to the point where its lungs are being crushed by the size of these 1,200 pounds troglobites roaming the streets. And I say, if you're going to outlaw foie gras, then either A, outlaw fat Americans, or B, you should allow people to farm American livers. Why can't I order American liver online?
Yeah, join the free market. Start competing.
Yeah, if America's going to eat themselves to get his liver to 5 or 6 times its size, I should be able to order. Like, remember that site where you could go online and they give you a sight on a rifle and you could shoot a deer online? Shootabuck.com or something like that? They should have AmericanFoieGrasFarm.com where I can pick a big fat American on the site and then somebody on the other side will harvest their liver for me to eat with some nice toast. Why can't I? If either that or let this farmer continue to do the farming business they've done for hundreds of years before America existed.
Yeah, but, you know, the fact is I can't see Americans doing anything but continue their foie gras-like tendencies because the Financial Times was reporting today that salaries for 80% of Americans went down last year.
Is that right?
And yet they said that the analysts on Wall Street see no chance that they're going to stop spending, however, that it won't affect their consumption.
Because they're borrowing against their house.
Yeah, well, because they're putting it on credit cards, i.e. they're so stupid, they don't even need to ask the corporations, these so-called American corporations, that they're willing to go send their McDonnell Douglas Air Force F-16s to defend. They're not willing to, they don't even need to have a salary. They don't even need to work. They don't need any jobs. They don't want their government to even supply them with jobs. They're just willing to spend stuff they don't have. Well, maybe they think...
Because they're just ducks on a foie gras farm. They're consuming themselves to death. And I just, you know, to wrap it up and bring it back to where we started, I think that you got to look to Bolivia for the trend of the next year and the next few years, which is that the rich people around the world are in the crosshairs of change.
Yeah, and that's why...
you know, the rich people have taken too much. They got too greedy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for greed as an interesting part of the mix of the human condition. But if it's completely unbalanced, there's no checks and balances in the system to stop the greedy people from entering the White House, taking control of the White House, and changing the laws to make it easier for the same people to strip mine the wealth of America and cause abject poverty from coast to coast, then I think you got to look to Bolivia and what's happening in Bolivia for the future of America. The people are going to start to pick off rich people.
So
There's a war between the rich people are now in the crosshairs. I think... You know, people look at these riots in France and they think it's a function of terrorism.
Mm.
It's not. It's a function of class wars. Mm. The kids who have been left out of the economic mix got violent. Mm-hmm. Not overly so. They burned a lot of cars. They didn't start gunning people down. But I think it's the beginning now between Bolivia and France and around the world is that rich people in America around the world have got to you know, realize that there are people out there now who are coming after them, and rightfully so. They got much too greedy. I mean, this is gonna. I'd like to see it on the web. I think it'd make good TV. I mean, so you see it on the news instead of seeing poor people getting gunned down everywhere. I'd like to see more news about rich people meeting the same fate, but just because they are too greedy. You know, and that's gonna be fun. I mean, if I can, that's gonna be my entertainment for 2006. You know. If they're going to support Exxon and turn the world into a global Auschwitz in which we're all dying from burned up, you know, you see the temperature now in the UK is 10 below zero.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what was said 2 years ago when you start to screw around with the Gulf Stream as it affects Britain, giving it a temperature which is unlike Siberia, even though it should be like Siberia because it's on the same latitude. When you start to screw around with that Gulf Stream due to climate change and global warming and carbon emissions, the UK is going to sink into Siberia-like weather conditions. And now this is exactly what's going on. They're having their coldest winter on record. It's 10 below zero. And it's getting colder because of the greed. This is where the greed... It's not about the rich guys. The people are envious of the rich people because they stole all the money. It's because the rich people are changing the fundamental ecosystem of the planet in a way that's challenging the very survival of humanity. So it's a fight for survival of humanity. That's what the rich people represent, is the obstacle towards survival of humanity. It's not about getting a good job or a bad job. It's about survival. The rich people have made it impossible for humanity to survive by the global warming, the climate change that they support with their bastardization of the neoliberal model, by their in-bed, corrupt cross-ownership between military and government functions. And now I'm afraid it's come back to where it always comes back to, and that is the people basically insurrect. There's solidarity between the insurgency in Iraq and the insurgency in America and the insurgency in Bolivia. Except that Bolivia is a lot more organized at this point. Bolivia is really a more of a model of democracy than you find in America or Iraq, because they have a leader who reflects the interests of the people. So, you know, we look to them for guidance. We look to them for leadership. We look to Evo Morales for support and leadership. And this is the trend. This is going to be the big trend. And gold will continue to do well for investors who are just looking at this from the investment point of view, and they want to take a purely passive look at this. They can be helpful by buying gold, supporting gold, because the more the gold goes up, the harder it is for Goldman Sachs to make money. The harder it is for Lehman Brothers and Citigroup to do the derivatives-based asset sales based on the frippery that goes from bank to bank trading worthless air for huge fees. Because gold is Mother Nature's currency. Gold is the reassertion of nature into the economy. The higher gold goes, the harder it is for these banks to make ill-gotten gains, raping the ecology and the economy and the labor market. We never use the word labor market on this show, because it sounds too Marxist. But it is about the labor market and nature and society. All of these things are being threatened. And gold is a good way for that to come unglued and for the bankers of the world to be licking off the barnacles of the sunk ships that have carried them on top of our popular delusions.
Well, speaking of nature's currency, we're going to go look at some wheels of Parmesan cheese, which apparently are used as currency during hard times. Yeah. So I think it might be used again.
Yeah, I think we need to put that into context, because these wheels, they look like they weigh maybe 30 pounds of wheel.
You could use them as a tire on your car, I would think.
I mean, they're size of a small tire.
Yeah.
And they were used as currency. But, you know, going back to the history of money, it was back, I think, in the Northern Europe countries, they used these huge, 100-pound copper plates. If you go to the London Museum, and they have an interesting exhibit of the history of coins and money, the original coins and money were these ingots of copper that you need a horse-drawn carriage to move them from place to place. But if we're going back to gold, though, I mean, a true gold standard, we're going to end up in that kind of economic model again anyway, except that they'll have 1/10 of an ounce gold coins. I'm thinking that buying the 1/10 of an ounce gold coins are probably a good idea, because it's going to be hard to make change for a full ounce of gold coin.
Exactly.
Once gold goes to $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 an ounce, having an ounce of gold to get change is going to be a problem. So the 1/10 of an ounce of the gold coin, which would be representing there of a $200 or $300, $400 instead of $4,000, that's probably a lot more convenient to get the 1/10 of an ounce coins.
Yeah.
I think the ounce is going to be too valuable to carry around in one go. So that, I think that's something. If you're buying physical gold, I think you should buy the 1/10 of an ounce.
That's what my plan is, to buy some coins and some silver coins, of course.
Coins are going to appreciate more on a percentage basis than gold, for sure. Silver can go, gold can go up four times the value. Silver can go up 10 times the value of its current price. And you know what? Finally, we'll say this about this. There is a concept in the world right now about peak oil, that the reason oil prices are going to stay above 60 and go to 160 is that the world has reached peak production. There's not any more oil left that you can get to easily. I mean, there is some oil, but it's a lot harder to get to, a lot more expensive to get to. So peak production means that we've passed the point at which companies can extract oil in a way that's vast and fairly cheap. I also believe that when it comes to gold, we may have reached a point of peak production as well. There's probably not that much gold left.
Well, apparently a lot of the mines in South Africa are seemingly depleted.
All these miners in these countries in Latin America and South America, of course, they're going to renationalize all these. Companies like Pan American Silver, they've got mines in Bolivia, don't they?
In Ecuador.
Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all these American companies have mines in these countries. They're going to be
Peru, I think.
Peru.
Yeah. One of those countries.
They're
going to
renationalize these countries. They're not going to let America. I mean, as the American economy. As the American presidency loses power at the flip side of being a dictatorial a-hole, and everything goes to the fit hits the shan over there in the United States. They won't have the power to enforce their control of these foreign silver and gold mines. So that's going to be another loss to the economy. They won't be able to impose their colonial ambitions in that way. Gordon Brown already sold all of the UK's gold.
He sold half of it in 1998, okay. which was almost the bottom in terms of the price.
Yeah. So he got rid of all his country's gold. He's all he has left with is a bunch of worthless paper from Goldman Sachs, a big IOU.
I think Britain has something like 200 tons left. So.
Yeah, Gordon Brown's going to call over to Goldman Sachs for the money that they owe him. He's going to be, beep, 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 the number to have read, the number ready at a debit. If you have reached the number error, please try again. Beep, 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 the number to have read. There's not going to be anyone at Goldman Sachs. There's nobody going to answer the phones over there. They're going to be all in Antigua laughing their ass off.
In their little yellow submarines.
Lots of guns and a bunch of sack of gold. Yeah, they know what's going on. They know that they're ripped. This whole thing is going to come apart like a souffle.
Okay. Well, let's go get a Parmesan cheese souffle, speaking of that.
Yeah, let's go get a souffle.
Bye, you all. We'll come to you tomorrow, New Year's Eve, from Milan.
It hasn't changed to the new year yet?
No.
2005. I feel like I'm 2008.
You've been doing end-of-year roundups for the last 2 weeks. We're in Milan tomorrow, so we're going to make the final confrontation with the hotel clerks at Hotel Principe.
Yeah, you're not explaining that very well. What do we have against the hotel clerks? We're going to confront the hotel clerks. What did they do?
Now that the warrant for the arrest of these 22 CIA agents and one guy named Mr. Robert Lady, he calls himself Lady.
What?
Yes.
There's a CIA agent named Robert Lady?
Yeah, he's a lady. So there's a warrant out for their arrest, and we're going to go try to collect the bounty. And collect these agents.
Well, let's do our Madge bit now.
Okay, we're gonna go do our Madge Weinstein show now. So if you want to listen to more of us, go turn on to Madge Weinstein at yeastradio.com.
Yeah, go to Madge Weinstein at yeastradio.com and listen to another piece of this show.
And then tomorrow you could also listen to us on Resonance 104.4 FM in London. We have a 1 hour show.
It's a full hour
from 7 p.m. GMT. That's Greenwich Mean Time.
I try to do that show actually having, been up from my nap in a coherent manner.
Oh.
Can we stop the show? Okay. Let's move on. Jesus Christ.
Bye.
God damn it. Let's finish this goddamn show.